I got a movie theater ticket to go see The Matrix. There's a showing of The Matrix.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I'm going to see that at like 7:30 tonight. So I'm excited to see it on the big screen.
We love The Matrix. It's a great movie.
Trans allegories
with
FTW.
And a lot of, we love Keanu as well.
God, I love Keanu Reeves. Just, yeah. If my taste can be boiled down to anything, it's God, I love Keanu Reeves and Giannis Sinakis.
There we go.
And on that note, the album I'd like to talk about today, Austin.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Why not? Let's rip it. Hey, what's up? This is Relevant Tones. I'm Austin Williams.
And I'm Matthew Dosland.
And Matt and I, fun fact, some listeners might not know this, Matt and I used to do a small podcast during lockdown times, and it was us just ranting at each other for like an hour and a half per episode usually about hot topics.
You're being very generous also by saying that it wasn't just me ranting. And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
But shameless plug on that, not that we're monetized or anything in that capacity, but if you're curious about it, it does still exist out there. It's called Classical Reboot. So that being said, but no, this is Relevant Tones, and we also have a Patreon.
Speaking of monetization.
Right. So go check out patreon.com/relevanttones. Toss us a few bucks. It helps us out more than you would imagine. Gets us the cliche cup of coffee and other administration stuff. So and we're working on creating a catalog of like uncut episodes, because a lot of times I know for me at least, like, I will get talking to some of our guests and like there's just too much content to throw into one episode, and we don't always have the capacity to make it a two-part episode to throw it on there. So if you go on to the Patreon, we are working to get all of that up there, so you can go ahead and listen to those episodes uncut. So
where do you want to start?
Well, you said let's hit it off with your stuff, man. You said what album do you want to chat about?
Yeah, so those who have heard me talk about music in person or on this podcast before know my adoration for the Greek experimental community in general, just because it's so bonkers and diverse and amazing, and like the soundscapes that they use. And this recommendation is an album by Modern Research in Sound and Vibration, and it's called Electra. It has a Greek title that I cannot read or pronounce, but parentheses it says Electra. And the people performing on the record, so Ivan Papadopoulos does the like design, construction, operation of the instruments, some of the composition, improvisation, and production, and then Konstantinos Kitsios also composition, production, like arrangement, sound design, mixing. It's a really weird soundscape out of this one. Like, it's only two songs. There's side A, side B, both called Praxis, just Praxis A, Praxis B, about 45 minutes.
We love a good long form A, B.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's it's long form, and it's got all kinds. It takes you all across these different soundscapes, kind of starts very sparse, adds things in, gradually grows. There's some vocal looping and distortion that is incredibly effective.
Cool.
But a lot of like very industrial sounds, like it's like machines are making these noise almost. Like it's very like it's very not it's very not musical at the beginning. Like it's very kind of unorganized, very free form, and then it kind of starts to click, like things start to kind of fall in place, almost like the machines being constructed as you go through.
Are these all electronic sounds, or are they created through acoustic means?
I think it's a combination, to my knowledge.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a combination of like one voice, two electronic sounds, and then three like created sounds with items.
Cool. Yeah.
So kind of all of the above, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool, you know, and like I think you would quite like it just from like a compositional standpoint. It's really interesting. And I haven't, you know, this is stuff that's on the ear right now. So, you know, I've listened to it maybe twice.
Okay. Yeah.
And I haven't like tried to do any kind of like deep dive into like figuring out what like the form and like those kinds of things are with it, which I think would be actually really interesting, and I might do like later, but it's just, I listened to it a little bit ago, came back to it, and it's really good. I really like it.
That's interesting. You brought up form, because I actually just had a conversation with someone about this recently. And they're a PhD student at Northwestern right now. And I was just talking to them about music and just like modern music and contemporary music. And one of their professors, and I agree with this totally, is he said something to him to the extent of like, everybody likes to steal Lachenmann's sounds, but they don't like to like use form. So you, a lot of times, and this is more common on like student compositions, but like I have, since hearing that though, I've been so obsessed like listening for form and how that shapes works. Cause I think obviously when we listen to music, the first thing that like we gravitate towards is how it sounds, obviously. And then like, but starting to actually pay attention to things formally, and this might be just kind of a banal statement, but I think it's a really easy thing to forget about. I have been personally very focused on that lately. So,
yeah, I think that I think along that, like, I mean, like as a performer, it's something that gets you kind of get lost a lot, because like as a performer, like to your point about form, like a lot of what we worry about kind of first and foremost is like, am I playing the right notes at the right time?
Yeah.
And then like, okay, am I phrasing this like this moment correctly? Mm-hmm. When really I think a lot of, and I think to your point, like a lot of student performers actually could be better served, especially with new music, about thinking about the whole piece. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to have like a start point and an end point, and like what you have to have checkpoints in between. And like, that goes to the form conversation of like, you have to know what you're trying to do as like a whole piece, as a performer as well, and as a composer, like form-wise, because otherwise you can't give things the proper context, like in phrasing, especially. I think that's where a lot of people fall down late with new music, is like they don't have a recording to listen to sometimes.
Yeah.
Yep. And trying to figure out the form and trying to figure out the like the phrasing can be really difficult.
Yeah.
But
yeah, totally. Yeah, especially if it's like brand new to your ear. But I don't know. It's just it's interesting you brought that up, because it's something I've been focusing on recently as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you say the name of the collaborators and the name of the album again, just so we have?
Yeah. So yeah, the title of the album is Electra, and then it's by Modern Research in Sound and Vibration, which is two people, Ivan Papadopoulos and Konstantinos Kitsios. And I do hope I'm pronouncing those at least close to correctly. My apologies. I do not speak Greek, ancient or modern.
You know.
Doing my best. What do you got? What are you doing?
So I have, we'll start with, it's a piece by Ted Moore, who before we started recording, I chatted about a bit, but Ted Moore is a lovely composer, out of, I think he's professor at Peabody, but he's also a great composer, improviser, East Coast cat. This piece, among many others, but the piece I'm focusing on today is called Triangle. It's on Score Follower, if you are familiar, which I would imagine most of our listeners are. But it's a really cool piece, and he did a really fascinating thing for the process. So Ted Moore works a lot in improvised electronics. He programs a lot of Max patches and all that lovely stuff that we love to hear and mess around with. And he so he did an improvisation, and then he took the time to, I think he kind of parsed it out, found the moments that he liked, and then ultimately he created this fixed media track for a string quartet to play over with it. And the even more fascinating thing is that he basically it's in monophony the entire time. There's some like play with the fixed media, but he really just orchestrated the string quartet to play the fixed media part, and they are playing at the same time. So you have this like really interesting moments of, it's not even like he's trying to fool the listener of like what made that sound. It's very clear, like, this is electronics and this is a string quartet. I think that's kind of the point of the piece, where you just get these like really harsh juxtapositions of something that is like at least rhythmically and timbrally very similar, you know, pitch content aside and all that stuff. But he did a phenomenal, fantastic job of notating and like transcribing these electronic parts for the string quartet, and it's performed by a Jack Quartet, and they're all just absolute rock stars, and they shred everything that they get their hands on, so they absolutely nailed it. I was very compelled to share this work. I've just been listening to Ted Moore's pieces a lot recently. I think he's an excellent composer and improviser. His compositions are, they're different from his improvisations, and you can tell they're all made by him, but I think that they are, there's just different approaches when he says, okay, when there's a decision that this is like an intentional composition, it's that it feels like that modernist approach of like everything happens for a reason and is thought out very meticulously, which is really fun to listen to when it's done well. It can be very come across as very academic, but it doesn't strike that as like that way for me when I listen to Ted's works. They come across as just genuine and thought out. We'll be right back. Also going to include an improvisation that he did just to give the listeners a juxtaposition. And this is an improvisation that he did with Nina Juo, who I did not know about. First of all, everybody should go check out her stuff. She's a lovely soprano. Nina Juo. She does these lovely, wacky performance art things that, like, just take so much vulnerability as a performer to do, and I have nothing but respect for that, because it's scary to go on a stage and, like, scream and, like, do really vulnerable, aggressive vocal techniques, which you will certainly hear in this in the improvisation that she does with Ted Moore. And this is kind of part of a larger collection that Ted has on his website. There's a whole album that he wrote. There's a whole album called Brew It that are a collection of improvisations that he's done with a variety of collaborators. So all on his website, go check out Ted Moore's stuff. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't plug him enough. He's all over the place. He's actually in Chicago quite a bit, doing some stuff. So I've gotten to meet him a couple times. So yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it sounds like an interesting thing. And like I'm always intrigued to see like what composers do, especially with like the combination of such a traditional thing like the string quartet and putting and you know
yeah.
Jack, they're incredible performers. Like I mean they have such a range, like they're just so good at a lot of things,
right?
And it's cool to see someone do something like, you know, the fixed media and then like putting the quartet with it, and it's, yeah, I'm gonna definitely check it out. Like I mean it's just yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah go check it out. It's so interesting how like I think we are getting to the point, and this might be a bold statement, but we're getting to the point where I don't consider like fixed media with any ensemble to be considered like this outlandish thing. Like we've had it around for so long. And
well, I think also we've had enough quartets that are comfortable enough with it. And rather, I should say enough ensembles really that are comfortable enough with it, that like it has definitely gone outside of the, it's become far more accepted, and I think a lot more spaces and groups are equipped to deal with it. So it's just, yeah, it's getting more and more mainstream, if you will. I mean, out of the, and like it's still, there's still highly experimental things being done with the form, but like it's a little more accepted. Like people know what it is and how it works, and performers are a little more equipped to do it,
right?
Which is just leading to better and better music with that grouping, which is cool.
Yeah, and so that's why I think the piece specifically that Ted Moore wrote for quartet and the fixed media, it really stands out within that within that library of music, because generally speaking, I think that a lot of times fixed media is dare I say a background or not really a forward facing member of the ensemble, where with this piece I Ted's just throwing it right in there in the mix. Like, it's just, it might as well be another member of the ensemble, which if you kind of, if you think about it, it might as well be, because these are, you know, electronic improvisations that Ted made through himself. And so he is figuring out a way to, like, you know, just like impose that, like kind of throw himself into the ensemble without having to like actually physically be there.
Oh my God, y'all! Yeah! Well, this is just the sweetest little thing I ever did see! Oh my God, y'all! Yeah! Well, I just can't believe y'all made it out tonight! I mean, I am just positively plum and flustered! Yo, that's just the sweetest thing, y'all!
Yeah! I mean, I just can't believe it.
I mean, I just can't believe that y'all just... Y'all just did it! You do all that way! Because, I mean, you just, not a little thing. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You came all that way just to see the two little of us. I mean, you just, we ran out the clock on y'all, didn't we? I mean, we just really ran out the clock on y'all. Because, I think that we just plumb lost control of it. And, you really got to forgive us, because it's just something that was just out. It was just completely, I mean, you just wouldn't believe the traffic. And next up on
I mean, because you're so funny.
Yeah, the one that I'm going to plug, like, really quickly is actually, like, pieces that have just been released for an upcoming album that's going to be released on May 19th.
Oh, cool.
Which is a composer that I've actually interviewed for this podcast before, Sophia Yanni. I like her music a lot, very minimalist, like, kind of style, but I think not, like, so esoteric. She has an album coming out, six pieces for solo violin. I'm a sucker for string music. Everybody knows that. It's really good. I've enjoyed the two tracks so far, Arpeggio and Triads. Give a listen to Triads.
Yeah.
It's great. It's coming out. You can pre-order the album. I'm excited for it. I really like her music. And if you want to know more about her, go listen to the episode where I interviewed her.
Yeah. Nice.
That's great. All I have to say about that.
Yeah,
and then the other person I want to highlight is not classical necessarily or Western classical or whatnot, but raised and steeped in that tradition.
Yeah.
Leve, who is actually like more of a pop jazz vocalist at this point in time, plays guitar, plays cello, and plays piano. A lot of her music is like bossa nova-esque, like kind of like a lot of her music is very in that like bossa nova, Brazilian, like Gilberto kind of vibe. It's very good, very lovely. I must admit that one of my cello students told me about this artist. So this is not, this is from the kids. I listened to her album Bewitched, and I found it very, very good, very effective, very beautiful, and I think a modern take on bossa nova that's good. And you know, she uses strings throughout it. She uses, like, she definitely has a classical tradition, and she talks about it in interviews. Mm-hmm. She's an Icelandic Chinese person who is very much so into crossing genres and crossing like techniques and things. So yeah, it's a cool album. And if you like jazz and you like bossa nova, you should listen to it. Yeah. And I think a good place to start is either the title track Bewitched or the song From the Start.
Okay. Yeah.
She has a Tiny Desk concert. If that's like, if anyone wants like to not listen, like if anyone wants to watch her play, watch her sing.
Yeah.
I do recommend it. You know, 19 minute Tiny Desk concert versus like a 30 minute album.
Right.
Your life. Use it as you need it.
Well, I have one more piece I want to talk about. It's called Ageha by Samson Young. And it just popped up randomly. On my listen, it was like related to like a Missy Bazzoli album that I was listening to or whatever. Anyway, I just thought it was a lovely piece. I don't have a lot of like super deep insights onto the work, other than I think it's a lovely work for solo violin and fixed media, and I think it's composed very nicely. Uses some lovely sounds in both instruments of the electronics and the string instrument. The one thing I'll say is I think it uses the full range of the violin very nicely. It has these moments of really high, intimate, you know, melodic gestures, and then these really nice, like, lower, like, pops and, like, creaks and, you know, stuff that you can get with some overpressure technique down there. So I think the display of facility and knowledge on the instrument was fun to listen to. It definitely has this like lovely interplay of like it kind of like the postmodern take on, you know, using melodic materials and then incorporating some extended techniques. But it's nice. It does it in a way that's not overbearing or too obvious, and everything's contextualized in a nice way. So. We'll be right back. All right. Well, cool. Anything else interesting and inspiring in your world?
Teaching. I love teaching. But nice. Because that's where I got one of the recommendations for today.
Oh, why not?
Nothing inspiring in my world, really. No.
I feel that.
I'm working with too many 501c3s to be inspired.
Well, as we are working for one right now. And on that note, this
has
been...
That's all, folks.
this has been Relevant Tones. On the Radar episode. We've got to start numbering these so that we can say this is episode number whatever.
It's more chaotic if we don't.
Yeah, true. This is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we will catch you next time. Thanks.
Don't you notice how I get quiet when there's no one else around? Me and you and awkward silence. Don't you dare look at me that way. I don't need reminders of how you don't feel the same. Oh, the burning pain. Listening to you heart pump out some new soulmate. She's so perfect, blah, blah, blah. Oh, how I wish you'll wake up one day. Run to me, confess your love. At least just let me say that when I talk to you, oh, Cupid walks right through and shoots a narrow through my heart. And I sound like a loon, but don't you feel it to confess I loved you from the start. What's a girl to do? Lying on my bed, staring into the blue. Unrequited, terrifying. Love is driving me a bit insane. Have to get this off my chest. I'm telling you today that when I talk to you, oh, Cupid walks right and shoots an arrow through my heart. And I sound like a loon, but don't you feel it to confess I loved you from the start. Confess I loved you, just thinking of you. From the sun.